Hello, church. Blessings in the name of the Lord. It's good to be back in God's country. I'm from up in Ohio, so I love it down here. Don't hold that against me now. It's beautiful down here, and the people are just wonderful. And now this is a broken record time because, you know, I've told you this before when I've been here. Your church has a good spirit, and you're friendly. Now, you'd say, well, yeah, we're a Christian church. We're supposed to be, right? Well, I've been to a lot of different churches over the years. The Lord's opened a lot of doors to minister at a lot of different places. And I got to tell you, not everybody is as friendly as this church. So, you know, pat yourselves on the back. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're letting your light shine. You know, I mean, when people come, even if you got to act, folks, even if you really don't mean it, okay, sometimes you just have to act it out. That's just a fact. You know, let's be honest about it. We don't always feel these things, but we do it. We know it's the right thing to do. I was talking to somebody earlier, you know, when you go up to somebody and you say, how you doing? And they may, he said they may have just buried their dad a week ago, but they're like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. You know, now are they lying when they say that? They're the type of people that don't want to bring you down. They just want to bring you up and keep, you know, life in you. And so when church people come in, you know, when we're all here, let's put on the face of the Lord. Even if you don't feel like it, you know, just show the Lord's love. And believe me, people love that. They really do. And, you know, you got some great teachers here, great preachers here, and you got a lot of wisdom in the Lord. But how many of you have learned that people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care for them and how much you really are friendly? It's the truth. I've learned that in my life. You know, that's what draws people, you know, to people to listen. You know, if you think you can just go out. When I first got saved, I thought I'd just beat everybody over the head with the Word of God. Give it to them. They're going to hear it because it's, you know, it's in my spirit and God changed me and you got to hear this. See, I had it all wrong. I was running ahead of the Lord. That was called zeal without wisdom. You know, I wasn't even being led by the Spirit of God. I left the Spirit of God in the dust. You know, I just ran ahead of him and said, you got to hear this. The Holy Spirit wasn't prompting me to do it that way. So I have learned a few things over the years, and I pray that you have too. Since I was here last, we've just been preaching and teaching wherever the Lord opens doors. And whether it's in Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky, wherever the Lord opens the doors, sometimes even further than that. But I thank God for the opportunity. My whole goal here today is to tell you and minister something from the Word of God that will bless you and edify you and encourage you in the Lord, okay? So that's my goal, and I hope I can do that today with the Lord's help. And another thing, brag on the Lord, I told you about a mission that the Lord opened a door over 30 years ago. It's a homeless shelter, and I go regularly to that. And since I was here last time, I keep score because I want the Lord to get the glory. We've had 49 conversions since I was here last. Isn't that beautiful? Y'all have it. That is a beautiful thing. You know, the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one, right, that repents. And ask yourself, when's the last time you seen somebody get saved? Or when's the last time you led somebody to the Lord, right? And it's a beautiful thing. And again, I'm not trying to convict anybody if you haven't done that lately, but I am privileged to see these people get converted and the power of God. How many of you know we serve a God that can do anything? Amen. I mean, anything. And I see these, I've told you this before, you know, a lot of these men at this homeless shelter, I mean, they're rough. They're coming in off the streets. They're drug addicts. They've used people. They've beat people up. They've been in prison. I mean, just some mean people. And some of them are just big. I mean, that fellow there is good size. They're some bigger than you, and they got a lot of tattoos, and they don't look too friendly. They look down at you, and I'm like shaking in my boots saying, Lord, give me this strength, the witness to this person. But that's the kind of people that will come when they hear the gospel and kneel at an old-fashioned altar and weep like a child. Now, there ain't no way me or you can do that, folks. It's God. God can do anything, and I've learned that. You know, just don't get in His way, you know, and just be an instrument and let the Lord use you, okay? So it's a beautiful thing. And then a real quick personal note, I had a longtime friend that I've been praying for. How many of you got some unsaved people you've been praying for, right? So I've been praying that the Lord would get a hold of him and use us if we can. And anytime I ever tried to approach him, it just, you know, it just didn't go anywhere and he didn't really want to get into it. But anyway, this last year there was a breakthrough and he really surrendered to the Lord and is now seeking the Lord. He's reading the Bible. I didn't tell him to. Nobody told him to. The Holy Spirit convicted him to start reading the Scriptures. And so now when him and I talk, I'm not kidding you, 3 hours straight, nothing but Bible and the Word of God. Amen. This is a guy that want nothing to do with it. And see how God softened him, and now he sees he's getting older in life, and he sees, you know, that the most important thing is not what's here, right? That's why the Bible tells us to not love this old world, neither the things that are in the world, right? It is to set our affections on things above and not upon things upon this earth, okay? All those tractors you got and them four-wheelers, they're beautiful, but folks, you can't take them with you. I'm sorry, they ain't going. You're going to have to leave them behind. And I love mine, too. I got some of those stuff, too. I love that, but you can't take it with you, right? You've never seen a hearse towing a U-Haul. You've never seen it. You can't do it, folks. You can't take it with you. So I tell you, the only way you can take it with you is if you give it away for the Lord's service, because therefore you lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Amen? So I hope you all laying some treasure up, all right? Well, let's get into the Word of God today. Again, I want to give you something from the Word that I believe will bless you. The title of this message is God Opens and Closes Doors. God opens and closes doors. We'll be sharing from the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 7. Revelation 3 and 7, if you want to turn there. If not, I'll quote it for you. Aren't you glad for the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. What would we do without it? It's the words. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." I've found that to be very true. It's more than a book. How many of you have read the Bible through more than once? Anybody? At least once? I think you have. We just had a lesson on humility, right? So I know you don't. Nobody wants to say, "Yeah, I've read that Bible 3 or 4 times," right? You got to stay humble, right? Well, and by the way, I used to say I'm the humblest man in my family and proud of it. No, don't say that. Don't say that. That's not the, no, don't do that. All right, Revelation 3:7 says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." Listen to those words. "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee," listen, "an open door, and no man can shut it." So I want to stop right there, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you would move by your Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the best teacher. We need your help today, and we just pray that you would touch our hearts with the word of God. And we look forward to what you have for us. We ask that it's in Jesus' name, and everyone says together, amen. Praise the Lord. It says that God can open doors, open and shut, okay? Nobody can do that. I like this. Trust the path that God has set before you. Is that not an open door? Is that not an open door for all of us? And it's beautiful that you have that up because it goes right along with this message. But God is in the business of opening and shutting doors and putting opportunities in front of people if they're willing to receive it. If they have eyes to see, because a lot of times the door is just right there wide open and people don't even see it. They don't want to see it. They don't go through it. They just go another way and they take their own way. But God has been opening doors in my life since I was a young boy. Now, do we have any 12-year-olds in here today? Anybody 12 or right around there? Could I pick on you and ask you to stand up for a second if you're 12? All right. All right, now there's a 12-year-old child, right? And we love our children. Let's give her a hand. Thank you for standing. The reason I say that was I want to show you that God uses children and he opens doors for not just the adults that have been around a while, okay? When I was 12, before that I had never set foot in a Sunday school. I had never been in a religious service, never read the Bible. I never had any of it. And here's how God opened a door at age 12 for me. My neighbor was trying to win a Bible, and they were having a contest. Whoever gets the most people wins a Bible, and he wanted to win that Bible. And he came up to me and said, "Hey, would you come to my church?" And he would put it right on the line. He said, "I'm trying to win a Bible. I just need you to show up, okay? And you don't even have to listen. Just come." I'm like, "All right, I'll help you win your Bible." So I go to there, and I go to the Sunday school class. Now, imagine, you're 12, you've never heard anything about anything. Now, that day, what do you think the Sunday school teacher was teaching on? Hell. First time, my first experience, I got the double barrel shotgun. Hell! And I mean, I'm like, whoa. I never heard any of that. I'm like, whoa. And finally, she looked me right in the eye and others and said, now, is there anybody here that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior so you don't have to go to that awful place? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. Give it to me. I want to get saved, you know. And that's how I got saved at age 12 years old. That's a door that God opened, and it was an unusual way to open it, you know, with that Bible thing, but it got me there, and it got me to hear it. How many of you know that some of these preachers that have these tent revivals, lately what they've been doing is they advertise people to come out, and there's TVs and, you know, all kinds of big things you can win, all right? That's their draw. Sinners might say, I'm going to go there and win me a flat screen. And they have no interest in listening to the preacher or anything, but they just want to go and win a flat screen. Now, some people criticize that and stuff, but I'll tell you what, it gets some sinners to hear the Word of God, and some of them sinners didn't win the TV, but they won the Lord, okay? So before we criticize stuff like that, understand that it gets, if you can get the lost to hear the gospel, how many of you know they're not exactly beating the door down to come into church here today, okay? I mean, most of us are saved here. I mean, that's just a fact. Years ago, they would come out to churches, but not so much anymore. So I got saved, man, genuinely saved. And the Lord began to open doors at 12 years of age. When I opened this book for the first time on my own, it was a door. I couldn't believe it. I was fascinated by it. I started consuming it at age 12. I mean, they wanted me to play ball and get outside. I'm studying the Word of God, and God's working on me. So after about a year, I really started reading like in Acts when it said they went out and Jesus told everybody to go into all the world and preach the gospel and all these things. And I said, well, I'm supposed to be doing that. So God opened a door for me to begin to personally witness to people at my local shopping center. I'd get me a bunch of tracts, put them in my pocket, and I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. So I walked up. And if you was coming out of the pharmacy, I'd say, excuse me, I'd like to give you this. And by the way, my name is so-and-so, and do you happen to know the Lord Jesus? I mean, I just laid it out there, and most people, as you know, they took it and said, thank you, young man, I buzz off, you know. But every once in a while, there would be someone who would pray the sinner's prayer with me right there. And this was a few years ago. People don't do that stuff. But I mean, the Lord gave me a boldness, but he opened a door as a young man to do that. Now get this. About 2 years into I'm about 12, 13, 14 now, my pastor at the time, God showed him that God's presence was working in my life, and he had a call on my life. And he says to me, he says, Danny, I want you to preach to the church. All right? Now imagine that. I'm like, you guys are the ones that's been in it for 40 years. I've only been in this thing a little while here. I'm a kid. I said, what would I have to say? And he goes, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I just want you to go and pray, seek God, open the Bible, begin reading, and listen. And whatever he tells you, you tell us. That was what he told me to do. And I'm like, that's it? He goes, that's it. So I said, all right. So I sure enough, I did. I got me a big old piece of paper. I'm sitting there. I'm praying. And guess what? The Lord starts speaking. I say, yeah, that's good. Put that down. Put that down. And he gave me a message, and I came back, and I shared it with everybody. And again, a lot of this stuff I'm telling you, please, this is not brag. This isn't the spirit of brag. I'm bragging on Jesus Christ because of what he did in my life. I'm trying to show you that God uses people to get the gospel out and to spread the good news. And this is just my personal testimony. So when you hear me saying what God's done with me, please give God all the glory. You've heard me say this before. If somebody gives you a compliment in life, you know, they say, brother, you are a good teacher. As soon as you get that, treat it like a hot potato. As soon as it touches you, go, Jesus is the reason I can teach. Do not go, well, you know, I have went to Bible college and I have studied a good bit. I know a lot about the Bible. Don't do that. Give it to Jesus and say, he's the reason that I can do anything. Amen? In fact, Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing. Jamie, I love you, brother, but you and me, without Jesus, we can't do this. We're just putting on a show. We have to have the Lord and his Spirit. We got to be full of the Spirit of God and full of the Word of God. So my pastor told me to do that. It worked. People enjoyed it. And you know what? To this day, when I prepare, you know, everything I'm telling you today, nothing's changed. I get before the Lord. I seek him. I open the scriptures. I meditate and listen. Be a good listener, church. In fact, the Bible says, let every man be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and you know, quick to listen, quick to hear. Listen for the Spirit of God, and then that's what I do. I'm just sharing what God gave me. So this is from the throne room, just so you know, okay? It's not from me. I'm a channel. That's all I am. I'm the messenger. And by the way, many times God told me all that stuff I wrote down. He said, thank you very much. Put that in your pocket. And he gives me on the spot all this stuff to say that I had never planned to say. And that's how the Holy Spirit works, by the way. It's a beautiful thing when it happens. So anyway, as a young man, one last thing to happen after, so I started preaching some, and I went to this big youth group. Do you guys still do stuff like that where you get with a lot of different churches and they go somewhere and maybe have a big camp meeting or something? We had a big gathering. There was probably 1,000 kids, all right, from all over, like a tri-state area, and they went to this big place in Pennsylvania, and what they would do is, on the Friday of that, it was like a week-long thing, on the Friday of that week, they would have a speaker from the kids. Now, I didn't know anybody there, never been there, never met anybody. There's 1,000 kids there, and you know who ended up speaking? Me. Now, I didn't ask for it, I didn't look for it, I didn't tell anybody, I just went to the thing and enjoyed it, and see how God works? He opened a door. And I said, I'll do it, because my pastor told me how to do this. He said, I'm going to get here, I'm going to listen to the Word of God, I'm going to meditate, and whatever God tells me, I'm going to tell that group. And that's how it went. So nothing's changed, church. That's the same thing I'm doing today. God don't change, His Word don't change. He opens doors. Now, I'd love to tell you that from that age until now, I was just on a... But I make a quick... Because I've shared my testimony at length here before, but I backslid on the Lord. And guess what? There was a girl involved, okay? When I was 16, a girl got involved in my life, and she was not saved, right? And the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, right? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I knew that, but I said, I'm going to get her converted. We know how it goes, right? So to make the long story short, it took about a year and a half, but believe it or not, I backslid on my Savior with the calling and the giftings and everything that He had. Went out into the world for 15 years, and by the way, that girl who I fell in love with and married, we ended up getting divorced. So she pulled me, I allowed her to do that, the enemy of our soul was behind it, to pull me from God, and end up getting divorced anyway, and then I just stayed in sin until I met my current wife, which I love with all my heart, and she is the one that told me that, you know, we weren't Christians when we met. She said, you know, if we want this to work, we're going to have God in our lives. And I'm like, where did that come from? We never even talked about God. I didn't tell her, none of my past or nothing. But see, God was back on this old prodigal. He was working on him. And we came back to the Lord together, and we got saved after a 15-year backslidden state. Now, here's the thing. When I got back to the Lord, and I mean, it was real, the real deal, and I felt so bad. I said, there's no way He'll ever use me again, you know, in that, because I blew it, you know. That's it, you only get a chance. How many of you know the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance? That calling was on this young man. It didn't go away. God says, I've been waiting on you. I didn't like what you did, but we got work to do. Let's go. Let's get back to work. And I'm like, yes, sir, thank you for the privilege of being able to still serve you. So I was really humbled. I mean that sincerely. And somebody was mentioned, I think, Jamie, about your past. All right? That's how the devil, works on us about our past. And he worked on me a lot. He says, who do you think you are? Look what you did. You squandered away that gift, and you did all that, and you think you can just stroll back in here, and God's going to allow you to use it. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of it, okay? Put him under your feet. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is none. So I'll just speak a word for you, Jamie. When the enemy comes in like that, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him, and you put him under your feet. He's a liar, and that's what he does. He's an accuser of the brethren. God don't look at us. It's under the blood, all that stuff. And we're not, you know, I'm owning up to my past. But listen, we can be under bondage to that. We need to come out from among all of that junk and just say, look, God's merciful and gracious, and He loves me, and He's forgiven me, and I'm not going to dwell on the past, because guess what? He don't either. He don't even remember it. It's all under the blood. Amen. It's gone. Amen. Who will bring it up is the enemy. And he'll use people to bring it up too. All your family, right? They all tell you, hey, we know you better than anybody. Who do you think you are? See, the enemy will still work through them. But anyway, don't let that happen. So I decided when I got saved and came back, I'm going to go to Bible college. And it was just something I felt, I want to take this very seriously, and I want to really get as much. And you don't have to go to Bible college. How many of you know the disciples turned the world upside down and they didn't have no sheepskin? They didn't have no documents or anything. They were with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the authority in their life. You don't have to go to any kind of schooling to be a preacher of the Word of God, okay? In fact, sometimes when you go to these schools, they actually twist and turn, and because a lot of the Bible schools are getting liberal anymore, and they're actually not giving you what you'd think they would. It's like colleges. It's terrible in some cases. But anyway, I went to a good one, went there, got ordained, and Lord, the gift was still there. He said, I want you to go out and preach. And so after it was about 2 years, I started preaching in our home church. Then here's what I'm telling you. God began to open doors to preach at other churches. And it was just amazing how it would happen. You just talk to somebody, and you'd give them your testimony out on the street, and they go, well, I got a church over here, and would you mind coming and sharing that with... That's how it starts. The doors just open up. So God began to work in my life in a great and mighty way. And then I said, Lord, I want to witness again like I used to do up at them stores and stuff. So man, I couldn't even tell you how many hundreds of people, not hundreds, dozens of people that the Lord has individual doors, workplace, acquaintances, neighbors, just people in my life that he will open that door to witness under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then I remember I was sitting there. You know, how many of you believe in prayer? Right? Hopefully we do, right? Well, I prayed. I said, God, I appreciate being able to minister in the churches. This is outstanding. I love it. But I just had this desire to do some kind of ministry outside the four walls of the church. So that was my prayer. I said, Lord, I'd just like to be able to sink my teeth into something. So I prayed that on a Sunday. And I used to work in the Department of Natural Resources. So while I was out on a lake one day, next day actually, it was a Monday. It was an afternoon, slow day. Everybody's working. I thought this will be an easy day. So I see a boat speeding. And then when I stop the boat, there's the biggest Bible I ever seen right on the pontoon boat. And these guys, there's like 7 or 8 guys, and they're all smiling. They look pretty sharp, you know, and I was trying to do my thing, you know. I was supposed to probably, you know, warn them or write them a ticket or something. And suddenly I said, are you guys Christians? And they said, sir, we're from the Barberton Rescue Mission. I'm a counselor there. These are my people that we are out here. We're just enjoying God's creation. And if we've done anything, we're sorry. Now, how could I write a ticket for that, right? There's no way. There ain't no way. Put my ticket book aside and took my break. I've told some of you this before, but I noticed some new faces, so I'm just giving you this. And we had church out there. Now watch this. God opened a door right then and there. I prayed the day before for to do something outside the church. Here's a boatload of violators that are from the Barberton Rescue Mission. And I says, you know, how do I get involved in something, this organization? And he said, here's the executive director's card. I'm so-and-so. You call him and tell him you talk to me. Next day, man, I'm on the phone, talk to him. He says, yeah, I can meet with you. I think it was the next day after that. I met with him, sat face to face, told him my heart. And he said, young man, we want you here. We want you to come and preach here. That's God answering a prayer within a few days. Amen. So when you pray, church, get ready. Do you believe your prayers? Expect that it will happen, and it will happen in your life. So my point is, God can open doors. You know, again, how could this be? I'm someone who trashed him. I threw aside all of that. But yet God forgave and began to open doors again. And he will do it for anybody that wants to do this. You know, here's the thing about an open door. It's an open door. He don't grab you by the scruff of the neck and say, get in there. Get in that door. Get in there. He don't do it. He opens the door, but you and I have to go through the door. It's faith. And I'm telling you, lots of people are missing their paths or doors or whatever you want that's set before you. The Bible says it, that God sets these things before us, okay? Now, all in the Scriptures, okay, God has called all kinds of people and opened all kinds of doors. For example, in Paul, you know, in his life, This is in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Listen to what it says. It says, this is Paul. He says, when I came to Troas, okay, to preach the gospel, listen, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. See, even the great apostle Paul had to have doors open so that he could have access to this Gentile world, and God did it, all right? And how many of you also know that if God opens a door, He's not just going to send you in helpless. He's going to anoint you with the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. He's also going to equip you. He's going to make sure that you've got the funding and things you need. How many of you believe that? Amen. He's not going to just send you and you're on your own, you know. This is all part of doors, all right? And you would be amazed how God meets and provides the needs of very many people. Many of you could testify that you didn't have anything. You were broke or you were really in hard times, and you could testify how that God met the need, all right? I think it was George Mueller. He used to pray. He'd keep a list of his prayers, and one time he said, I'm out of flour, Lord. And, you know, he prayed the prayer, and he heard a knock on the door, opened the door. There was two sacks of flowers and nobody in sight. Now, he was so used to getting his prayers answered, he grabbed the flour, went up to the list, and went, Jake, thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. And that's how he was. So think about it the next time you pray. Put a list out. Have some faith, you know, and look at that way. That's a good way to do it, okay? So God will equip, God will meet in all these different things. How many of you know that God opens spiritual doors, but He also can open physical doors? How many of you remember the story in the book of Acts, right? Paul and Silas, right? They got thrown in jail. They got beaten and then thrown into jail in the inner dungeon there. And what was their crime? Preaching the gospel, casting out demons, bad stuff like that, you know. They beat them and threw them in prison for doing such good work. But you see how the enemy is? He thinks, I'll stop it. I'm going to get them beat and throw them in the middle prison, and that's going to be the end of it. And we know the story. So imagine, they're beaten, they're bruised, they're in stocks, they can't move very well. And all of a sudden at midnight, them old boys started praying, the Bible says, and singing. We always say the singing part. They prayed and sang. And God blessed that effort with a great earthquake. And the Bible says that all the doors were open. And listen, all the stocks came off. Not just them boys, everybody, even sinners, even people that didn't know the Lord. And there's a great spiritual message there. God delivers people from bondage and sets them free and makes a way of escape. Amen. Isn't that the truth? That's what we're preaching. Amen. And that's a beautiful spiritual image there. But here we see they're simply praying, and God physically does that kind of stuff. And I love it that God, you know, God can do anything. He really can. He can't violate His word, okay, but He can do anything that... You know, when you look at things in your life and they look so bad and so big, just remember that the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And by the way, there's a good lesson about praising. Right now, we sing these songs and we praise. We're in a nice, comfortable church. It's air conditioned. We're among friends. We don't have any persecution. Yeah, I can sing pretty loud in that environment, right? I can put the old chest out and sing to my Lord. But you know what? What about when you're not in an environment like this and you're all alone and you're really going through life's really coming at you. The demons are really coming after you hot and heavy. I mean, things are rough. You know, bills aren't getting paid. You're depressed maybe, or, you know, there's situations with family. On and on we go. What about then? How are we doing on the praise department, right? We know sometimes we got to start mully grubbing and, you know, we don't feel like doing it. But that's what I said earlier. Even if you don't feel like it, do it. Even if you don't feel like praising, do it. You will be amazed what can happen, because God will honor that. He sees that your heart is, you may not understand it, but you're gonna just worship the Lord, all right? Now, I need to give you a word of caution. Not every door, all right, is of God. It looks like it is, but it is not of God, all right? And we need to camp on that just a little bit, okay? Because how many of you know that man can create doors of opportunity for you? But it's not of God. You know, somebody, if you need a job, that fellow right there, and he's a company owner, he could say, hey, I got a job for you. And you go, hey, thank you, Lord, for that door. But God didn't open that door. He just made that happen. How many of you know that demonic and the devil himself can open doors for people? He can cause things to look like a pretty good opportunity, you know? He can make a path look pretty decent to you, and you go, yeah, this must be of God. It's a good-looking door. It's got to be of God. Absolutely. So we need to understand, how do I know if a door is truly of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Here's how you start with. Pray. Now, that sounds trite, you know. You ever heard somebody say, well, I'll be praying for you, and you're going through something, and you're kind of like, well, that's nice, but it sure would be nice if you pulled that wallet out and maybe give me some of that too, you know, right? I mean, we're just human. We think like that, but they're like, praying, that's really not that much, you know, but yeah, it's really everything, because you're going to the King of Kings, the one that created everything, and you're saying, Lord, I'm coming on behalf of so-and-so, and I'm praying for them. But anyway, when you have a door, go to God and pray and say, Lord, this looks like a good thing, but I want to make sure it's from you. And I'm asking you right now, and I'm seeking you, and I need your advice. I need your counsel. I need your wisdom and your guidance in this situation, because I don't know what to do. In fact, Jesus said, did he not? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. In fact, Jesus himself is the door. He says, if you'll knock, if you really want to know if that's a door, you knock and it will be opened unto you. And I will tell you and I will lead you into these truths, okay? He'll speak to your spirit with that. How many of you have learned the still small voice of God? Right? It's not always in the big stuff. It's that still small voice. And you know, I've heard people say, well, how do I know if that's God speaking to me? Well, let me say this to you. When you deal with the Holy Spirit, it's sort of like weightlifting. The more you do it, okay, the stronger you get, right? The more that you seek God and listen to His voice and respond to His voice, you will learn the voice of God. It's like exercise. You actually are exercising by doing that. You're testing the Spirit. You're trying God. You're asking Him to give you things, and you're listening, and then they come to fruition, and you realize that after a while, you don't have to ever say, I wonder if that's God. You'll know immediately in your spirit. Now, I'm talking to the Spirit-filled people here today. I'm talking to the people that are full of the Word of God today. I'm not talking about people that are dabbling in this. If you're serious about God, He will speak to you, and you will hear His voice. Jesus said that the sheep know His voice, and the shepherd's voice, and they will follow. Folks, you will know it that quick. You won't have to ask anybody. You'll know it. I'm telling you. But it takes practice, and it takes doing this stuff. Don't dabble in it, but get into it with all your heart. So, besides praying to know if that door's real, look what else you can do. Well, number two, rely upon the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that Jesus said the Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth? So if there's a door there, the Holy Spirit, if you're in tune and you're full of the Holy Spirit, He will say, yes, that is a door that I want you to go through. In fact, I say it this way. If you got to go uptown for a pop or for a jug of milk, pray, Lord, I want to be led on this journey to get this milk. I want to be in your will. Because how many of you know on the way to get the milk, the Holy Spirit, if you're listening, could say, I know you need the milk, but I want you to pull over to Joe's house. And you're like, why would I go to Joe's? I need milk. Because the Holy Spirit's leading you to go to Joe's. Because Joe's been praying for a week, Lord, send somebody to help me. And then the Holy Spirit responds by you going to Joe's. See how that works? It's the truth. You be led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit will lead you through a door that's of God. He will make sure you don't go if it's not of God. In fact, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Everybody that's a son and daughter of God is to be led by the Spirit of God. How many of you believe that? I hope you do, because it's Bible. It's in the Bible. He says, you will be led by the Spirit of God. So, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost anymore. They want to push Him aside as like the third wheel. We don't really talk about Him much. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Spirit of God to know what to do, okay? To know which direction to go. How many of you have ever had checks in your spirit? You're thinking, wonder if I can do that. And there's something just giving you a check. Just a little check that says, See, again, when you understand the Spirit of God, you'll know that's the Holy Spirit. He's putting up a stop sign. Don't do that. Okay, that's how He leads, one of the ways that He'll lead and guide. Other times, He'll say, yes, son, go. Perfect. Go to that person and speak the word of the Lord to them. So be led of the Spirit of God. Now listen to this one, all right? How many of you believe that if it's a door that's truly of God, you will have that peace in your spirit? Have you ever been a decision or something you want to do, and if you're married, you know, it's not only bugging you, it's bugging your spouse too. Both of you are just like uneasy about it. You know, there's not that peace. There's that reservation. There's that conflict and all that. See, God isn't going to give you that. He's going to give you both, if you're married. He's going to finally, if it's a door that God's truly set in front of you and he wants you to go through that door, he'll have peace about that decision. How many of you believe that? The peace that passeth all understanding, all right? It's a peace. Now, I'm not saying you'll never have turmoil in your life because you've all been living your life. You know you do get turmoil at times. But when it comes to the things of God and the doors of God and the leading of God, there will be a peace in your spirit. Because how many of you know the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion? And so there won't be confusion about this. You know, if God speaks to you, he'll speak to your wife too, or vice versa, okay? There'll be harmony in that area and peace, and God will speak to both. It's funny, I had a preacher one time, he went somewhere and he was preaching, and the fellow says, this old guy comes up and says, you know, God told me you need to come here and pastor this church. And my friend says, well, that's funny, I'm on speaking terms with God, and he never told me that. And that fellow looked at him like, wow, okay, I just thought I would have you come down. He goes, God never told me to do that. See, you got to be led by the Spirit. It's a great idea. Maybe he thought it would be. Lots of, you and I, if we just sat here without the Spirit of God, we could dream up all kinds of projects and all kinds of good things to do, couldn't we? Just if we brainstormed without the Spirit of God, just do it, getting ahead of him. But see, that wouldn't necessarily be of God. We need to listen to the Spirit of God. Always. So if you get nothing more out of this today, get close to God and listen to the Spirit of God. And when His Word comes into you, get that into your spirit as well. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So you ever been with somebody that you've thought was a Christian for years and you never hear any word, you never hear any spirit, nothing, just worldly stuff? You have to wonder what they're putting into themselves. You know, because if you put the word in, guess what? It will come out. You know, if you've been around a Christian long enough, you don't take you real long, especially one that's on fire, you'll know that the word's in them because it's going to come out. All right? So I would challenge you to do that as well. And then the other thing is, all right, you have this peace, right? But the other thing is God will never open a door that will cause you to sin or violate the word of God. Now, that's a good one to remember because, like, for example, if there's a great job opportunity and you're looking at, wow, promotion, a title, I mean, great, I've been waiting for this my whole career, that's got to be God. But then you find out that they want you, let's say it's one of these tax things and they want you to bend the rules on the taxes. Everybody does this, by the way. They say, you know, don't worry about it. It's semi-legal. But, you know, you basically got to bend this so, you know, they're reporting it in a way that, you know, the company, all this wiggly wash stuff, you know. But how many of you know the Bible says you're not to bear false witness? And do you think God's going to put you in a situation like that that's going to cause you to sin and cause you to go against what his decrees are? So there's a check in your spirit right there. God will never open a door that will cause you to sin or to pull away from the Word of God. And that's the truth. So there's a very good signal for all of us in that situation, all right? And how about this one? If that job, you know, these jobs are big doors for a lot of people. Somebody looks at a promotion and all that, but do you really believe God who said, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves as the manner of some is, right? And we are to love our wives, you know, like and husbands and wives are to love each other according to scriptures. Do you think God's going to give you a job that's going to pull you away from church and from your family? Now, I'm not saying he can't and God works in mysterious ways, but overall, God will not pull you from your family and from assembling. You know what I mean? You got to go somewhere and work and you're going to be 6 months to a year away from your spouse and all this kind of stuff. Usually, that's a check right there because God is not going to pull you away from that kind of stuff. Again, never say never with God. He will not violate his word, but that's a principle. He wants you to be, if you're in a family, he wants you to be with your family and help to provide them and love them and spend time with your children, not be gone working all the time. See, that's a principle of God. Another one. Will this door of opportunity bring glory to God, and will it bless other people? Because ultimately, the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So these doors need to give glory to God and bless other people. That's why. You know why you all are blessed, right? So you can be a blessing to others, ultimately. God's given all of us a blessed life. He really has. Not just material things, but spiritual as well. That is to bless other people. How many of you believe this? All right. Now, real quick, God also closes doors. We talk about all these doors opening. How many of you know He shuts them? Let me give you one in my life. Had an opportunity that sure looked like God to pastor a church. Had a little parsonage with it, a nice little package. They loved me. They wanted, you know, me to preach. And I'm like, God, is this you? It sounds pretty good. So they wanted me to test preach. That's what they do. Get up and preach. So, you know, and they're all back there with notes and everything. And so you get up and do your preaching and all that. And they love it. So I'm thinking, well, you know, is this God's will? Must be, you know. Make a long story short, what I found out was that there had been a long line of ministers coming and going here. And what the problem was, they had a board that was a very controlling board to the point where they were telling preachers how to preach, what to preach. And I mean, I don't know about you all, but no preacher should ever be bound by man to preach the Word of God, especially if they're in a position where they're a pastor, right? And the pastor, you know, is supposed to be the shepherd of the local flock. God gives them from the Word. As long as it's the Word of God, they should have the freedom to speak forth the Word of God. Would you all agree with that? Amen. This board didn't agree with that. They were in charge, and they were going to make it clear. So what it was is there was bondage there. God slammed that door shut for me because of that. And it's beautiful. And looking back on it, I see many, many other pastors have come and gone. And it's going to be that way until things change there. And it's sad, okay? So there's just one again from my life that God closes doors. And I don't know about you, but like in the scriptures, you can read where God closed doors. How many of you remember that time where Paul was on his missionary journey and he's kind of hitting them in a row? He's got it all mapped out and he wants to go over here to Asia because it's right on the way. And it makes sense, right? I'm heading that way. There's people that need to hear it. Holy Ghost, the Bible says, forbade Paul to go to Asia. He said, you can't go. That's a door getting slammed in your face. Paul says, let's go to Asia and preach, and you ain't going. How many of you know when one door closes, many times another's going to open? And guess what? Just a few verses later, we see where there's a man over in Macedonia praying, Lord, send help. Come over here and help us. Paul gave him a vision, gave Paul a vision. Come and help us. And then that's when Paul went to the Macedonia, Philippi area. And that's where God opened a door to that whole area. And watch what happened. Lydia got on board with her family. And Lydia, if you study, became a center, a hub in that whole area for many, many years to come. That was a very important conversion. And then that's where the Philippian jailer also got converted right here. We didn't tell you that part. That jailer got saved after God freed them. The jailer got saved. So you can see why God said, don't go there. My point is, be familiar with the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to lead and to guide your life. And if you do, you can have the same kind of successes that we see in the Bible. You don't have to sit here and say, well, that was for the apostles. That was for the Bible times. No, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will do it today. In fact, He would be a respecter of persons if He didn't do it for you and I today, okay? So again, notice the importance of being led by the Spirit of God. You know, how many's ever heard a country song, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers? I love that. Now, I'm not advocating everybody go out and be country singers and you know, dwell on, but it's a good line in there, it really is. How many of you know it's the same with doors? Some of God's greatest gifts can be closed doors. See, you might have your heart on it, but God, He wasn't in it at all, all right? So all I'm saying is, let's be wise, let's pray for God's will in our lives, but He'll confirm it. It ain't a one-time thing, and that's it, you're done. No, He will confirm it, especially if you're married. I believe your spouse will confirm what you're hearing as well, and other things will happen, all right? Now, I'll end with this. If God truly opens a door in your life, you need to go through that door, all right? If it's open to you, I mean, if this is a genuine door or path, and God set her right there in front of you, and the Holy Spirit's saying, yep, that's your door, take her, you need to take it. And here's how you take it. You take it by faith. And what is faith? Here's what faith is. I'll give you a demonstration. Faith doesn't mean I can see all the way down the road and I can see there's a turn up there and I can see it's going to take me up to the city up there. Nope. How many of you know this is faith? One step in that direction. I can't see how it's all unfolding, but I know God wants me to go through this door. I'm going to take another step and another, because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Right? And one of my favorite verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And listen, he will direct your path. You getting any of this? Amen. That's it. It's that simple. That's the message that God gave me to give to you, because it was so special in my life. And I know many of you, you know, if you're like most churches, there's some people here that really want to do something for God. You just got a heart to do something for God. And how many of you know God knows that? And he's got a plan, and he's got a call upon many of your lives. All you young people, you heard my testimony. Don't say I'm not old enough. There's a little boy named David in the Bible who was a shepherd boy, and God used him mightily. God uses everybody, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the door opener, that you can do anything, that you can do miracles, and you are a way maker. When it looks impossible, you can do the impossible, and we all thank you for that. And now that this word has gone forth today, I pray that it would fall on good ground, and I just pray that all of us would be tentative to what your plans are for our life and for the doors that you open. And I just pray, God, that everybody here would just really seek you and listen with this for the still small voice. You said, let him that have ears to hear, let him hear. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love you guys. Hope you got something out of that today. Amen.